This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is, the holidays are over. The hustle and bustle of the holidays is past. It is now just really, really cold, and it feels like hockey weather out there in the Maryland, D.C. area. Joining me, as always, to talk about the number one in the Metro Capitals is a guy who's going to get none of my Powerball winnings after I win tonight. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
You know what, Brandon? I think you need to learn how to share.
I refuse. It is $440 million, and it's all mine, jerk.
Dude, you don't even have to give me all of it. Just like a little bit.
I will name you an official Coach Dan of my ECHL team I win to bring back to Baltimore. There you go.
How much money you need to buy an ECHL team?
Like $4, probably.
I'm looking it up. An ECHL expansion team, and this is from 2012, so it's probably not accurate anymore. An ECHL expansion team costs about $475,000.
Ah, see? I'll buy like four or five teams.
This gentleman estimates that running the team will cost between $2.5 million and $3.5 million annually, so it probably goes up a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? Screw that. I'm just going to make my own league. That's what I'm going to do with my Powerball winnings. I'm going to drive the ECHL out of business.
Okay, LaVar Ball, settle down.
But anyway, Coach Dan, welcome back, man. How were your holidays?
Mine were good. I went out of town for a while. It was nice, nice and relaxing. It was warmer than it is here. That's rough. But it was good. How was yours?
Good, good. I spent the holidays at my second home in Ocean City, Maryland. So it was nice to get away from all the craziness that is the holidays. But got to enjoy myself at the beach, watch a little bit of puck, watch some of the Winter Classic. So, I mean, pretty good days. But, hey, the Caps had a great holiday season, don't you think? I mean, number one in the Metro. That's a pretty good gift.
Yeah, I'd say so. I very much appreciate the fact they're doing well. Well, since we last talked, they went 3-1-2, which is kind of like 3-3 in a way, which is not great, but they got a total of 8 out of a possible 12 points, so that's not bad. They had a pretty ugly game against Vegas. I understand I was out of town, so I didn't get to see it. It seems like everybody's struggling in Vegas this season, which is kind of weird. Pretty confident that the problem is that everybody's going out and partying because you're in Vegas. I don't think that's the case necessarily. But yeah, it's been a little weird. I was kind of hoping they'd go in there and be like, shut them up. But that didn't happen. But either way, it looks like the Caps are doing, they're doing all right.
They were able to come out and beat Carolina the other night. And that was definitely an ugly game. That was not one you want to, show your friends that you're like, hey, now that your team is no longer playing in football or anything, this is the team you should watch, the Caps, because that was not a good game to show them off with. But at the same time, yeah, they went into overtime. They were still able to come out with a win. So even though it was ugly, it's still a win. I think that's, that's still a good thing for them.
No, the team's doing all right. The defense is struggling a little bit. Doesn't help that Niskanen is out. They're doing okay. I think Carolina game is a little bit of a fluke. They're kind of, I don't want to say fluke per se. That's the wrong word, but it was definitely an ugly game. And you expect better from this team going forward. But I think the offense started to come around. You're seeing other guys scoring. Devontae Smith-Pelly had a nice goal. Chiasson's been I don't want to say his name right. So it's nice to see that they have more of a nice group of guys that are able to put the puck in the back of the net. So not just relying on Ovechkin every night. Defense will step up a little bit. And that game shouldn't have been quite as ugly as it was. I mean, Carlson with that pass, Carolina's first goal, like, what the hell are you doing? Because that was pretty ugly. Because Netzoff's penalty was stupid that led to a goal. And Orpik, it didn't lead to a goal, I don't think. But his hitting the back was kind of dumb.
Yeah, and I mean, thankfully, we do have Braden Holtby there in net. I mean, that's always going to be your saving grace as you look at it. And like you said, it's good to see other people besides Ovechkin scoring. But in Carolina, it was Ovi who came up with the game-winning goal in overtime, something you always want to see from Ovechkin. I mean, that was just a laser to the back of the net. So I love seeing that from Ovechkin. And it's, you know, you want other people scoring, but if Ovi's scoring as well, even better. So you did bring up two names I want to talk about. Devontae Smith-Pelly. What a story for this guy. He I didn't really know who he was until he got to the Capitals. Didn't know a lot of background on him. He was scratched a couple times, and now the last couple games he's been a top line guy. We saw top line Tom Wilson get moved down. Devontae Smith-Pelly moved up, and he seems to be playing really well with Ovechkin on the line.
I don't know. I mean, the guy should not be on the first line. He's a decent player. He's a good player when they have him on the third and fourth line. But when you're asking him to be out there with Ovechkin and Backstrom, he's not able to keep up. And if you look at the game against New Jersey, they had plenty of opportunities for him to score, and he wasn't doing it. You know, I don't know why. Yes, the team struggled a little bit over the holidays, and they moved top line Tom out. But he's still a better option than Devontae Smith-Pelly. And just because the team, that first line didn't score for a little bit, messed up all the lines.
But Barry Trotz is the type of guy, he likes throwing those lines into a blender and just to kind of see what would happen. We're seeing that right now for practice. He put TJ Oshie back on the top line. So it's OV, Backstrom, TJ Oshie, yet again as your number one line. Oshie's kind of been struggling since, I guess he came back from a little bit of an injury. I don't think he was out that long, but he's definitely been struggling the last couple games. And it seems as if Barry Trotz wants to energize his game a little bit by throwing him with Ovi.
It is a little bit of putting all your eggs in one basket, especially with guys like Burakovsky who are struggling, not playing some games. You know, then you definitely are relying more and more on your other lines to score because you have all of your top scoring guys, your expected top scoring guys on your first line. Their best defenseman against them, potentially shut them down, then you definitely need your other guys to. It was a little nice to have them spread out in terms of what line they were on, because then scoring and still have quality scoring throughout the lineup, and it's not putting as much on that one line if the other guys aren't stepping up. But it seemed to work against Carolina, even though they had an ugly third period.
Yeah, and like you said, Andrei Burakovsky, he's a guy who Barry Trotz has sat and he's had some harsh words. Barry Trotz has not been afraid to talk to the media this year. I mean, we've already talked about what he said about Shattenkirk, what he said about Ovi, how it's kind of hard to play with Ovi, a guy like Ovi, earlier this season. So he's not shying away from just telling it like it is. And Burakovsky, I don't know if Burakovsky has a big fan in Barry Trotz. This is not the first time he has benched Burakovsky, and now he's flat out saying, look, you need to make it to the next level. You're a top six guy. We know you're a top six guy. You're not, you know, you're beating yourself up. You're the one that's doing this to yourself, so you're the one that's going to be sitting in the press box and watching the game. It seems to be a little bit of a tough love for Burakovsky, who has struggled since coming back from injury, but, I mean, it kind of worked last year, I guess, when he got benched. Barry Trotz is hoping it's going to do the same thing, but you hate to see a coach come out and say that about one of the players, but, I mean, maybe Burakovsky needs it.
I don't like a coach coming out and throwing his player, not necessarily under the bus, but calling him out in front of the media, because he's trying to do, but there's other ways to do it. There's other ways to rile a guy up and get him to play better, because it's not a good idea. Brandon, are you on Twitter right now?
No.
Jan Caps have now tweeted out saying, hey, Caps fans, your captain is NHL All-Star. Is an NHL All-Star captain. So, yeah, congratulations to Ovechkin on being named the captain of the All-Star. Who cares? It's so silly. It doesn't matter. Like, none of it matters. Who cares? There shouldn't be an All-Star game because they should be going to the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Olympics also have terrible jerseys as well, but not as bad as these All-Star jerseys. Good Lord. This is just bad.
Oh, that's true.
This is just bad.
That's true.
But they took away the stuff that I actually enjoyed of the All-Star game. I like the draft, because all the players were drunk and it was really funny to watch, and now they don't do that anymore.
Ovechkin.
The tournament, I could care less about. The skills competition is fun, but I mean, yeah, whatever. Like in baseball, it's like an implication, right? Of whatever team wins gets home field advantage or something, right?
In baseball, it's whatever team wins gets the AL or the NL gets the World Series, which is also incredibly stupid.
But like, at least it means something. What does the NHL game mean?
Yeah, an exhibition game. And who wins the World Series?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's dumb.
All right, so let's get back on track here, talk a little bit more about the Capitals. On defense, there was one guy who's been kind of polarizing on this team. A lot of people have been talking about him, Madison Bowie. He started the season in Hershey, and he was brought up. It looks like he's staying a Capital for the rest of the season, but he's really not progressing as quickly as a lot of people were, you know, hoping he would. But like you're not bothered by it. You've said stuff on Facebook and everything how you think it's just because he's got somebody else who's doing better than him on the same team. He's still progressing, but it's not as fast as some people like. But you're okay with that.
I didn't say that. Hang on. My point was that I think part of people's reaction to him and being frustrated is because Christian Juice is acclimated himself so much better. I do find it interesting that Bowie and Orpik are the only players that haven't scored for the Caps this season. Not exactly a great thing to be a part of, but it is what it is. But I do find that there's a connection between the fact that Juice has done really well. Bowie is not quite as much. And that is what's causing people to be like, well, why aren't you playing as good as this guy? I think if Juice wasn't playing as well or was in Hershey or didn't exist as a person, that people would not be quite as quick to judge Bowie in the way that they are. Yes, he struggled and he deserves in terms of a guy who's not playing as well as you'd like for him to play. But we can say that about a lot of guys on this team. But I do think some of the reason is because Juice has done so well.
He has. And I mean, let's not get mad at him for doing really well on this team. We like that. But, you know, Bowie, he's struggled a little bit coming out the gate. But, I mean, that's understandable. It takes a little time to adjust to that coming from the AHL, but it happens. Anything else we should cover in Caps World before we get out of here?
There's a couple of things. I mean, they're in a tough division. You and I have talked about in the past how tough a division is. And 13 points, so that's 6.5 games between first place and last place. So they have to keep winning. They're currently first, but they're 2 points up on Jersey, but the Devils have played 2 less games, so that's a problem. So they're doing better than we expected them to do at the beginning of the season. I mean, we talked about how we thought they're just going to be kind of like a, to use a soccer term, a European football term, a mid-table side where they might make the playoffs, but they're not going to go out and just blow anybody away. Like they have that opportunity to actually do quite well, and when their defense doesn't step it up like last night against Carolina with a win because their offense can rescue them, and that's not ideal. You kind of want everybody to be on the same page in terms of how they're playing. You want to be playing your best hockey. We've seen teams that aren't the best in the league play their best at the right time and win the cup. So there's things for them to work on. You like to think that maybe they go out and acquire a defenseman in a trade, but they can't afford it at the moment. But as we get closer to the deadline, maybe they can, because maybe they move someone out, or you only have to take on that much of someone's contract at that point for your cap hit, so it doesn't hurt you quite as much. There's always a chance they could do something as we get closer to the trade deadline in terms of acquiring a defenseman to help this team out, because they certainly may need one, especially if Matt Niskanen is going to be out for a long time. He's missed the last couple of games. And it looks like he skated for a little bit today by himself, which, I mean, is a good thing to see, but necessarily exactly what you want to see him skating with the team so he can come back and play, because his team is definitely significantly better with him than without.
Yeah, absolutely. This team is better with Matt Niskanen a part of it. But, I mean, he's been hurt a lot this year. He's been hurt earlier. Now he's got something new he's dealing with. But it looks like it's more day-to-day this time around. So I do expect him to come back. But with this team in first in the Metro, It's only January. Do you think this is a case of them peaking too soon? Or is this a good time to peak because you get to work out the kinks before the trade deadline and really figure out what you need to make a playoff push?
I mean, I think they have to acquire a defenseman because you cannot anticipate necessarily. You can't expect for Niskanen to make it through an entire playoff run just because of the way things have been going right now. There's a very likely chance that he could get injured close to the playoffs or in the playoffs. And now you're playing Bowie more minutes. You're playing Orpik more minutes, which is scary. And you're playing Chorney more or at all. So I think they definitely have to go out and acquire someone because their defense is definitely right now their weak link. I hope he can only do so much, but he needs some help.
He definitely needs some help. And we saw that, you know, when Holpe needs help, he needs a lot of it. So Holpe is
that sounded mean.
Well, like when things
he needs a lot of help.
He needs a lot of when he's in need
he's
of help.
Got problems.
When he's in need of help, he needs a lot of help. Like it is not something like, you know, like any other goalie out there. If Holpe's struggling, there's a big reason why. Like his whole heart and soul's out there on the ice. So if he's having a bad night, there's a reason, and it's probably not him. But I don't know. So, I mean, this is interesting. They have a weird lineup of a schedule in January. I don't know how you're supposed to get any kind of a stride going because their games are so they've got a week full of games next week. And then after that, it's two games a week until February.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, 31 days, they have 10 games.
I don't know. Maybe they're thinking some of these games are going to get snowed out or something. I
think one of these is their bye week, but it's just it's weird.
It's really odd. I don't understand this schedule. And like they have a back to back with Carolina and then a week in between Flyers and Flyers. This schedule doesn't make any sense, but we'll see what happens with this team. But I think they're doing well right now. I thought the win against New Jersey was a great little vote of confidence for this team. I think they needed it right now. Hopefully we see a little bit more from Burakovsky. But it's going to be kind of hard to get yourself into a groove and rhythm of things when they've only got a couple games this whole month.
Brandon, I have a question for you.
Sure.
If Andre Burakovsky continues to struggle, hold on, I need to bring up him real fast. Struggle. Someone offers you a top four defenseman for him. He's only 22 career. Brandon, do you make the trade?
Just him for a top four defenseman. And is it Kevin mm-hmm. Shattenkirk?
Shut up.
It's an honest question.
What you it's fair. What you have right now with this team, you have Niskanen, right? He's definitely top four, top two defenseman. You have John Carlson, who may not be back after the season because he's scheduled to be a free agent. You have Christian Juice. He is an up and coming top four defenseman, if not already. And you have Dmitry Orlov, who not only is a top four defenseman, but you're paying him as a top four defenseman, or you're paying him as a top two defenseman. Someone offers you a top four defenseman for Andre Burakovsky, knowing he's only 22, so he's got a lot of hockey left to play.
I say, yeah, trade him.
Interesting.
I would go for the top four defenseman, yeah. We need a little bit of depth there, and we've seen a younger player come in and swoop in and take Burakovsky's job, Jacob Varana. Jacob Varana has done an absolute fantastic job. Now, he was a guy who was benched earlier. We saw it really worked for him. He's been, you know, lighting everything on fire since then. And I think he's taken Burakovsky's job. He's shown him up a little bit. Should be a little bit more competitiveness in between the two because of that. Burakovsky hasn't shown that. And if you remember, Burakovsky's been a little bit of a prima donna ever since he came into the organization. Do you remember after he got drafted, they almost had to force him to go to Erie and play for the Erie Otters to get used to North American hockey. And he kicked and screamed the whole way there and wanted to stay back in his home country and play there for a year or two. And they brought him here and forced him to do it. And then he got sent to the Hershey Bears and he got a little upset. I don't belong here. I'm an NHLer. I shouldn't be in the AHL. And then he came back, and you're seeing he's still struggling at the NHL level. Yeah, he's 22, hey, but he's also, I don't know if it's an ego or what, but he's got something there where he really does think, you know, his crap doesn't stink, and it's, you know, it's probably got to, it's got to be hard. That's got to be hard to coach. So I understand that with Barry Trotz.
Hey, Brandon, I have an interesting stat for you.
What's that?
I got an interesting stat for you. So Burakovsky and Vrana are separated by 1 year.
Okay.
I got an interesting stat. Burakovsky and Vrana are separated by 1 year. Burakovsky's 22. Vrana's 21. I vaguely remember Burakovsky being a little difficult about coming over and whatever else. And, you know, or a guy who wants to definitely be in the NHL. And I like that fire as long as he's not being a little B-word about it. And I took the points that they have in the season, how many games they've played. And Burakovsky, while having less points, has also played significantly less games because he got injured. But he has a better point per game average. Not by much, but Burakovsky's point per game average is better than Vrana's. Now, you need to go look at it more to see, you know, is he getting a lot of his points just in one game and that's why he has so many? Or, you know, there's a couple of games where he's had a lot of points and then he just goes on these long droughts. But straight up numbers, Burakovsky's points per game is higher, slightly, than Jakub Vrana. I found that interesting.
That is interesting, but Vrana is.
I was just curious. So I read the numbers.
Is a year younger than Burakovsky, so
it's 1 year.
It's 1 year, but Burakovsky has more experience than Vrana. And for it only to be a slight difference, that says something.
I think it's comparable in terms of them. I mean, the numbers are not in terms of their cost because it is like $863,000 and change, whereas Burakovsky's is $3 million, his cap. But see, the scenario that I proposed to you, trade unless I have a guy who's 24, 25 as a defenseman, and I have him locked up for a number of years at a good cap hit. Also, it doesn't work because they don't have the money this season to do it, but, you know, this is all hypothetical, so who cares? I would only make that trade if I have that defenseman locked up for a number of years. He's only here until the end of the season. I'm not doing it. I still think Burakovsky has talent. Yes, he's struggling right now, but he's only 22. Like I said, his points per game is not that bad considering it's better than Vrana's, not by much, and we have to, again, go back and look at when Burakovsky has points as well as Vrana. But, and this is not me, like, crapping on Vrana. I think he's a good player. I'm not willing to give up on Burakovsky unless what I'm getting back, similar in cap hit and locked up for a number of years.
That's understandable. I
or at least – I closed the page like an idiot. I think Burakovsky's deal is for this year and next year, same number of years. Like, he can't be a guy who's a free agent next season because they already got to try and re-sign Carlson, and they still have Orpik for another freaking season next season. So it has to be someone that is comparable numbers-wise.
Okay.
Otherwise, no deal for me.
I understand that. That makes sense. I think I'd be the same way if it was for a defenseman and it wasn't a long-term deal or maybe a 2-year deal or whatever. I would want an AHLer to come with him to kind of balance that out.
Why? What good does he do? All right, so you're trying to help out Hershey.
Yeah, keep Hershey busy. They took a hit with all these guys coming up to the NHL.
That's fair. I don't think a team's going to do that. If the guy's contract is up at the end of the season, maybe. But I still think he's got to be through next season because you still got to pay Orpik unless you're going to cut him.
Yeah, Orpik's always going to be that anchor that kind of holds you down. You know, you're only going to go so far in the water if with that anchor, you know, hitting the bottom of the sea.
It's a big old anchor in terms of his cap hit.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World? Now that I have Andrei Burakovsky leaving the team?
Not what you do. last little bit, Trotz became the fifth winningest coach in NHL history after they beat New Jersey with his 737th win. He is one out of 10 coaches to ever coach in over 1,400 games.
Wow.
Which is insane. His record since joining the Caps is actually 180, 76 losses, and 30 overtime losses, I guess. So that's not bad. So congratulations, Coach Trotz. I mean, that's impressive.
Happy to have you here and not fired at Black Friday. So that was great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think we talked about him getting fired before. I'm going to shake him up. And he found a way to do it.
He's doing the job. He's doing a good job. I'm happy with
that. That didn't cause him losing his job. So that's good.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We're going to go down on the farm and talk Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. But before we do that, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 3-2-1 with wins over Charlotte, Springfield, and Binghamton in the Atlantic Division with a record of 15-16-4. They'll be back at it with back-to-back games this weekend, both games at the Giants Center against Charlotte. In other Bears news, some pretty exciting news came out the other day as Bears and former Caps forward Chris Bork was named to Team USA for the upcoming Winter Olympics. So congratulations.
That's great. You can't root for Ovechkin or Carlson or Oshie, but you can root for Chris Bork.
He doesn't play for Team USA.
He's still there.
Well, not this time. But no, that's pretty awesome for him. And then a little later, we're going to go into all the other players that were named to Team USA. But let's head on down to South Carolina. Now, they'll be back at it with back-to-back games this weekend, both at the North Charleston Coliseum against Florida on Tuesday against Norfolk or Norfolk. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, go Bears, go Stingrays. Congratulations to Chris Bork. That is some awesome news. Playing for Team USA, fantastic. What an honor it is to play for your country in the Olympics. It's going to be an interesting Olympics this time around for a plethora of reasons. But, hey, they get Chris Bork, they get John Walton, and the Women's USA team. I know they want to beat Canada as much as everybody else wants them to in hockey. So it'll be a fun Olympics to watch in the next couple weeks. But go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. The Winter Classic happened earlier this week. Other stuff going on around the NHL, but their big premier game was just this past week in Queens, surprisingly for me. But to tell us all about it, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, one trade went down after the roster freeze, with New Jersey bringing in goalie Eddie Lack from Calgary for defenseman Dalton Prout. Now, in some suspension news, Arizona's Zach Ronaldo was suspended for 6 games for punching an unsuspecting Colorado's Samuel Girard. That's not nice.
Wow.
You keep your hands to yourself, Mr. Ronaldo. Ottawa's Frederick Claesson was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Boston's Noel. I don't know if I said his name right, but that's also rather rude. The Rangers beat Buffalo in the Winter Classic, but I don't care because I didn't watch any of the – I watched like a minute or two. Brandon, I know you have some thoughts on the Winter Classic.
I do. Am I the only idiot that didn't realize it wasn't in Buffalo? I'm very confused because the whole thing was this is the 10th year. This is the 10th anniversary of the Winter Classic. Oh, my God. It's been 10 years. 10 years. 10, 10, 10, 10. Buffalo is in the Winter Classic. So I assumed – they were going back to Buffalo for the anniversary, And and then they have the USA versus Canada World Juniors game outside in Buffalo where it snowed and it looked awesome. And then apparently we're in Queens because there's taxis all over the place in the field. I was so confused. And I mean, I don't know if I'm just a big dumb, but I would have assumed 10th anniversary, you have one of the first teams that played in the Winter Classic playing, you would return to the place where the first one was. But I guess I'm weird.
So here's the mistake that you made. You made the assumption that the NHL would do something that's smart.
It's true.
And it's okay. It happens to everyone. We all make these mistakes. All right. We mentioned earlier about Chris Bork being announced for Team USA. They also announced the rest of their roster, or most of it, Winter Games. Joining Bork in South Korea will be forwards Mark Arcabello, Bobby Butler, Brian Gianna. That name should sound familiar. He's also named captain. Jordan Greenway, Chad Kolarik, Brock Little, John McCarthy, Brian O'Neill, Garrett Rowe, Jim Slater, Ryan Stoa. Defensemen are Chad Billingham, Will Borgen, Matt Gilroy, Ryan Gunderson, Bobby Sanguinetti, Noah Welch, and James Wisniewski. And the only goalie they've announced at the moment is Ryan Zapolsky. They're going to announce two more goalies later in January.
So there's potential of former Hershey Bears goalie David Leggio still being named to the team.
There is all – unless he is signed to an AHL – I'm sorry, assigned to an NHL team, then yes, he still has the possibility. So like NHL, but they're signed to an NHL team, cannot play in these games. So Bork is not actually part of the Capitals organization. He has a contract with the Hershey Bears, so he's allowed to go play. But, I mean, yes, the negative side of the whole NHL not going to the Olympics is we don't get to see guys like Ovechkin and Carlson and Oshie and Crosby and blah, 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 and Malkin and whoever else go play in these games. But now get to represent their country. Whether they play well or not, it's still a pretty cool thing for these guys.
Yeah, it's really cool for them. And I mean, I know how many times it's going to be really annoying because you know the whole storyline that NBC is going to make up is the miracle on ice that happened because these are not professionals.
Not the same at all.
Yeah, and it's not the same thing, but that's what they're going to say. They're like, well, the NHL's not here, so this is a band of amateurs, and they're still – can they beat Russia? Blah, 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 blah. You know – I'm just waiting for the do you believe in miracles like to be on a commercial for every like 15 minutes of the Olympics. What else we got around the NHL?
That's it. That's the news for the past few weeks in the NHL.
So I do want to bring this up before we get out of here. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to like TV ratings and TV history and that kind of stuff. But this Winter Classic, you said you didn't watch, and apparently you're in the majority because this was the lowest rated Winter Classic ever. For the 10 years, the 10th anniversary, this is almost nobody watched. The NBC still tweeted it out as a victory because even though it was the least watched Winter Classic, it still did better than a regular season hockey game. So it still piqued the interest a little bit of fans. But why do you think this was the lowest rated of all? Because, I mean, there's a couple different reasons you can look at. Because, like, number one, I would have been interested as not a hockey fan to watch this just because of how cold it's been on the East Coast. And it was in Queens, apparently. And, you know, it was really crazy to see the Sabres goalie have ice in his hair. But at the same time, if you are a casual fan, these two teams, they don't have a rivalry. They're both in New York. So if you are somebody that lives in like Colorado or Middle America, you don't care. Well, what do you think? Why was this the lowest rated Winter Classic?
Well, you've got one of the worst teams in the NHL in the Buffalo Sabres. Also not exactly a media darling because there's just not really a team people talk about. Probably doesn't help if they're not any good. And then you have the Rangers, who are in New York. So they got a lot of it. But I think if it was a bigger – if they wanted to really make a big deal about being the 10th anniversary, they should have had bigger teams playing.
Like, even though I don't want to watch a game with the Penguins, I would have been okay with Sabres-Penguins for the 10th anniversary in Buffalo.
That would have gotten more. Flyers, Penguins, even – I have to imagine. I don't know if this is true. The Islanders, Rangers. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones where you could have had a top six thing go, and it would have been good. The Buffalo, including Buffalo, I just thought was really random.
Yeah.
Anniversary, but if you're going to have Buffalo, then do Buffalo-Pittsburgh again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very interesting to me. The ratings kind of stuff, that does fascinate me. It's the field of work that I'm in, so I'm always kind of interested in, like, what piques people's interest, what doesn't. And this one, I don't know. I don't think it's, like, Winter Classic fatigue. Maybe the Stadium Series has put a little bit of the outdoor game, some of that, you know, that sparkle that it used to have. Maybe it's not there.
I would agree with that. Yeah, that does – I mean – Classic is like they're playing outside. You could see the sky, and it was snowing.
It didn't snow in New York,
or it had snowed, or there's something going on, and everybody's really cold. Anyways, that was a different one. Snow on the first one.
It snowed on the first one 10 years ago. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So the first one had snow, and it was like a big deal. And then you had all the Stadium Series, and you're like, all right, everybody's playing outside now. Like it's not as big of a deal.
You know what is
going? Stadium Series stuff has kind of ruined it.
I think it kind of has. You know what's going to pique people's interest and what'll bring people back? And I bet you they do it in a year, maybe two. Winter Classic in Vegas.
That was L.A. I was going to say they did that last year, but or 2 years ago, but that was L.A. Never mind.
They did it in L.A., but I didn't think they did one outside in Vegas before, but apparently back in like 91. They did this. I saw a picture.
That ice is going to be super great.
Right. But there's an ice rink. They had an ice rink outside, I think, Caesar's Palace or something. So they've done it before back in 91. But I think that's what it's going to be. Like, what's that?
They should have to do it this year. I'm not – sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. I'm not surprised at all that they were like, let's just have Vegas do it this year. Jesus Christ.
I don't think they realized the Vegas team was going to be – as good as it is right now, but I think that's what – I know that's what an exec in the NHL is thinking right now. This is the lowest rated one. We need to go someplace new, someplace different. Winter in the desert.
Let's go to the desert.
And I don't know. Maybe you put Vegas. They don't have like a rival. I don't know who you go against with Vegas, but throw the Blackhawks in there. They love putting the Blackhawks outside.
It's true. It's a big rivalry like the Caps have with the Blackhawks.
Right. I don't know. I think that's how you bring the Winter Classic back to, I have a little bit of a mystique. You give it something different. You do it in Vegas, or you go to Minnesota and actually play on an actual pond. Mystery Alaska, that game. That's what you do.
Yeah, that would be cool. Or just watch the movie.
I kind of want to go watch it now. All right, so is that everything for What the Puck this week?
Yeah, we wrapped it up real nice.
All right, cool. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all sorts of Caps stuff in that game last night, which was, again, fugly. You can find me talking about Arsenal and all the things going on over there with European football and the Redskins. Not really, because they suck. And they already botched this whole Kirk Cousins thing like 3 years ago. But yeah, that's at WTP Coach Dan on Twitter. Enjoy listening to Brandon and I ramble about hockey. Why don't you go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We put all sorts of news and things related to the Capitals and the NHL and whatever we feel like putting up there. And time during the NHL season. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
So go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do at BrandoCash.com. Go write us an iTunes review. Tell everybody how much you enjoy What the Puck and you're a Caps fan. Do that for us. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show, share the show on social media, and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right, so not a lot of games to talk about until we talk again, but you got to wait until Sunday, January 7th. To see the Caps up against the St. Louis Blues. That game is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington. So regular season football's over. The NHL's coming in, just crashing your Sunday afternoon. 3 o'clock, that's where you can watch them. And then Tuesday, the Caps still in D.C., up against Vancouver. The Canucks are coming to town, eh? That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we're doing a show again. So, wow.
Yay! 10 games in 31 days. What the hell?
not a lot that we're going to be able to cover next week. Hopefully everybody's okay. But, man, 2 games. That's not a lot to talk about. But anyway. That's it for the show this week.
Let's go get the trick. Calm it now.
All right, that's it for the show this week. Thank you all for listening. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
It has been announced. Captains, as voted by the fans. For the Pacific is Connor McDavid. For the Central is PK Subban. For the Atlantic is Steven Stamkos. And for the Metropolitan Division.
Metropolitan is who?
It's Ovi.
Oh, it's Ovi. You completely dropped out there.
Damn it.
I thought that was just a dramatic pause that went on a little too long.
I'll do it again. The Pacific is Connor McDavid. The Central is PK Subban. He's going to get everybody riled up. The Atlantic is Steven Stamkos. And the Metro Division?
Why does that keep happening?
That's so weird.
The same thing. Metro Division and then nothing.
I won't do like a wait or something?
I don't know. That's okay.
I don't know why it's doing that. All right, I'll try one more time. Okay. Connor McDavid. The Central is PK Subban. The Atlantic is Steven Stamkos. And the Metro is Alex Ovechkin.
All right. Look at Ovi.
They'll be back at it with back-to-back games this weekend. Both games at the Giants Center against Bears news. This is some pretty exciting news came out the other day. As Bears and former Caps forward Chris Bork was named to Team USA for the upcoming Winter Olympics.
Woo!
To him, that was pretty awesome.
Real quick, hold on real quick. You said the Bears are back in action against, then it cut out and you just started talking about Chris Bork.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, I'll do the whole thing again. they'll be back at it with back. No, that's terrible. We did it again. They'll be back at it with back-to-back games this weekend, both games at the Giants Center against some other Bears news and some pretty exciting news.
Why is that doing it? It's the same spot every time.
That's so weird. Is it like if I pause, it's assuming I'm pausing?
I don't know, but it was literally the exact same moment. It cut out the name of the opponent.
Okay. So it'll be, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. Never mind.
Try it again. And don't pause. Just keep talking.
When did I? Well, no, I pause after the gap.
I don't know. That
okay. Let's try it again. Let's see who does it again. WTP Coach Jan, if you like the show, you should follow. That was terrible.